During the 20s, there was a movie actor known as Eddie Cantor. He was a man of great heart. He was in Paris at that time, and he visited many orphanages. And there he brought a great many bars of chocolate to the little children. So he went to an orphanage where there were nothing but little girls, and he distributed them, and everybody was happy, except one little girl in a corner there. So he approached her. She was in a corner like that, and he spoke French himself. He kneeled there, and he said, "Hello, princess. What can I do for you?" And she gave him a look. He said that as long as he lives, he will never forget it. She said, "Love me." That, my dear, is the subject tonight. Another story is from a Catholic priest, Father Bernard Vaughan, tells us one of his recollections of his beautiful home, that when he was quite a little child, his mother took him on her lap one evening and told him that on earth there was nobody who loved him as much as she, his mother, did. Then she went on to tell the boy about her love, and when he had put his arm around her neck and smothered her with the child kisses, she paused and took her crucifix. Pointing to the figure of our Lord, she said, "There is somebody who loves you more than mother does. Look at his hand and look at mine. There are no nails tearing mother's hand. There are no nails plunged into mother's feet. There are also a spear breaking its cruel way, so no spear breaking its cruel way through mother's poor heart. Who loves you most? Yes, it is Jesus. Always love him more than anyone, who love you so much more than even I do." All the great masters who have come on earth, all the great incarnations, they may not have as spectacular a crucifixion as Jesus went through, but every single incarnation of all religions went through that supreme sacrifice, which was to live an empire of bliss and nothing but joy and beauty and love, to enter into the darkness of our own human creation. Therefore tonight, if there is any weight in your heart of guilt, tonight when you come out of that door, it will be removed. Tonight I brought to you the translation of the New Testament by Paramahansa Yogananda, which has not been given to the world yet. And the title of the lecture is "How a Thief Went to Paradise." I'm going to speak to you of the infinite loving forgiveness God gave to those who deeply repent because of their love for God for the wrong they have done. When you have guilt, and that guilt is that you have forsaken God, you have forgotten God, you are indifferent toward God, that is the proper guilt. Everything else is forgiven, except our indifference toward God. Therefore, the Master says, this is from a letter which the Master wrote to one of the men. He said, "God's love is so embracing that no matter what wrong you have done, He forgives us if we love Him with all our hearts. He wipes out our karma." One may ask, does the Lord shower His grace more abundantly on certain men than others? God chooses those who choose Him. And here in the same letter, the Master points out who receive His grace more abundantly. He was writing to that person. He said, "Your regular meditation and your perpetual cooperation with the cause of self-realization has won for you the divine grace of God and the Master's. So your faith and steady loyalty to me. God's grace is so great that if you are at least a bit good, no matter how bad you have been, He forgives much. Never look the vast ground which you have to dig, for then you can dig. Go on digging into the soil, and divine grace will do the best in breaking the rocks of karma and flood you with His fountain of light. Think not about your fault. You are a child of God. Why not think of that? Never deny entry into the kingdom of God's love because of your mortal imperfection, but dive deep in Him until finding once more His joy you will leave behind you forever the weaknesses of human nature to be reunited with inner bliss. Then you will be united with God and thus gain His grace. The only thing we have to do is to be willing to persevere, seeing nothing, feeling nothing, experiencing nothing, crucifying our ego by sitting in the chair. Each time you sit down in meditation and you have to endure 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of darkness, and you are steady, getting nothing after 1 year, after 5 years, after 10 years, after 20 years, after 30 years. That, my dear, will get you the goal. That ego, the Master said, to seek God is martyrdom, the martyrdom of your ego. If there was an easier way, I would have found it, believe me. When Jesus said, deny thyself, take thy cross and follow me, that's the foundation of all religions. There is no, as the great coach there, Lombardi, said, you don't laugh your way to victory, he said. You know, therefore, we find what made Jesus so great, what is requested, not from just monks and nuns, but every day when you wake up in the morning, what are you supposed to do? And until you do it, you will not be able to receive the grace which is constantly ready for you. Every morning you will get up, the first thing you do, my Lord, today I surrender unto Thee my body, my mind, my heart, my soul, my thoughts, my feeling, my word, my actions. Every moment of the day. I will reason, I will, I will act, but guide my reason, will, and activity in everything I'm going to do today, every second of the day. Do you dare to do that? Every day, every morning, 7 days a week, 31 days a month? Each time you do that, you open it, and the grace of God begins to descend to you. But you have to ask Him. The Master say, He demanded. God demand from all householders, especially householders, who have to fight so hard into the world, they need the constant guidance and protection of God. That, my dear, is dedication. Therefore, the greatest miracle of Jesus was total surrender for His children. It must be remembered that Jesus was not crucified due to the arbitrary will of God, but because of His action in resisting the wicked priest with the powerful influence of His spiritual life. All the masters come without karma. But the moment you enter into duality, you are challenged, like you and me are challenged, but you don't even know. At the end of your life, when you leave this body, you will see the sum total of your victory, of your failures. And you will be confronted, believe me, and there is no lawyer to protect you there. There is nothing but the truth there, and you cannot hide yourself, you cannot twist the truth, it's right there. And therefore, my dear, prepare yourself. He could have avoided, Jesus Christ could have avoided this if He had not manifested His spiritual life for the purpose of uplifting the people. He opposed the satanic forces for 40 days He was challenged. And there He came out, He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now do you think God does not expect you and me to overcome the world like Christ? Oh, come on, I'm a little human nature. How am I going to do that? I haven't got the power. I can't do it. No, we won't do it. No, never use the word, I can't. When you actually are saying, I won't do it. We are all like St. Augustine. Oh, Lord, make me pure, but not right now. That is real words of St. Augustine, one of the great fathers of the church 2,000 years ago. It runs to 2,000 years. At least it was sincere. Therefore, He came here, He manifested His spiritual life for the purpose of uplifting the people. Although crucifixion, He knew that. He knew that in His previous life. When He was alive, Elisha and Elijah, He asked his guru for a double portion of His power to face the future. And the scholar, the disciple He had with Him, they knew who He was. They knew He was a reincarnation of Elijah. Therefore, although crucifixion thus came to Jesus, He still could have prevented it by borrowing 12 legions of angels from the Heavenly Father. But Jesus did not wish to use His divine will to protect His body. None of us has the slightest inkling of the kind of power those great masters carry with them.
If we knew, we'd be theorized. If for all this divine Father's will to conquer hatred by love rather than by the power of the supra-physical force of miracles, Jesus, by saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, created in the hearts of mankind for all time a permanent monument of their love, and demonstrated the quality of divine love. No miracle could be greater than the miracle of Christ's love, which refused to use divine power or any other means except love to conquer the hatred of his wicked brother. When he was in Gethsemane and his disciples were sleeping, he was shedding tears of blood. He did not shed tears of water, he shed tears of blood. His heart was broken. Why? Not because he was going to be beaten to death and crucified, but because his own children were rejecting him and were making infernal karma by, imagine the penalty of destroying the body of an incarnation of God. In addressing God as Father, Jesus was saying, Heavenly Father, you have created human fathers and endowed them with instinct of kindness for their children. Hence, you are even more kind to your erring human children, my brothers, who are persecuting me. When he said, forgive them, Jesus meant, Heavenly Father, being almighty, you alone can forgive my persecutors from suffering the results of the terrible sin they have committed against me. The Heavenly Father, by his almighty power alone, can forgive the evil sins of evil karma in any individual when he is repentant and try to become virtuous. If there is one thing God does not stand, is when you justify your evil. Never justify your right in doing evil. You have to have the courage to say, Lord, I know I'm wrong. I can't help myself. As I say to the Lord many times, Lord, I have no desire left, but I still have bad habits left, and they are yours. Now it's up to you. I learned that from Brother Lawrence. He was doing something wrong. He said, Lord, it's your responsibility. You're not close enough to me. No matter how many times a person performs evil, the divine image within him remains untarnished. As soon as the evil man does repent, what does that mean, repenting? Crawling abjectly full of guilt? No. Shiuktesvar says, turning your whole life toward God. I mean creeping back, turning your whole life toward God in thought, in word, in thing, in action. When you begin to incorporate God, that is repenting. Therefore, he said, the covering of evil is removed and the shining divine image is manifest again. When an evil doer repents and thus removes the veil of ignorance from his soul, if one does not forgive and still try to accuse him of his forsaken error, he repletes the consciousness of wrongdoing in him. If he absorbs it, he again eclipses the divine image in him. My dear, when you are dwelling into self-pity and guilt consciousness, you are constantly repeating the wrong in you. Your soul is pure, therefore do not concentrate upon our ego. Of course, the past of all men is covered with shame, Shuktesvar said. All our incarnation, if we are not shameful, we wouldn't be on this planet among the barbarians here, among the predators. We'll be among a society where everything is beautiful, everybody is in love, everything is perfect. Here we can barely survive it. Therefore, he said, if we keep absorbing that constant, I'm a sinner, imagine when the 300 years after Jesus Christ died, the Christian Orthodox from Greece went in India. They came back with a great technique, the prayer of the heart. They use that in Russia, in Greece. They called upon the heart, they inhale, and when they came back it was, O Lord, have mercy on me. Which became, O Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, who became, O Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Imagine all day long repeating, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. Now, how are you going to know God that way, you know? As to say, I'm a child of God. Therefore, the Master said, the psychology of forgiveness consists in helping the wrongdoer to remove the veil of evil from his soul through the encouragement of good karma. Of course, One should not forgive a wrongdoer unless he repents of his evil actions. Otherwise, it will help the wrongdoer to deliberately repeat his evil action. A brother should forgive an error-stricken brother as many times as possible if he really try to forsake his evil way, but fall occasionally to the weakness of the will and strength of the fleshy physical habits. A brother should forgive another brother many times, following the example of the Heavenly Father who forgives us all countless or infinite time. Hatred is even more powerful than love. Therefore, do not keep any kind of revenge in your heart, but with your reincarnate, if you are Jewish and hate the German, my friend. This is a very serious business, because you have to forget that. If you die with that hatred of any human being, no matter what is your reason, you shall pursue that hatred life after life after life. A hatred cannot be fulfilled. Only love can. Sure, it's easy for you, you know, you didn't go through. On my day, we have countless incarnation where we have every reason even to hate God for what he has done to us to put us in such a mess. I died during the Inquisition. I'm telling you, I went through it again in one of those deep superconscious dreams. And it would be enough to hate those who did that to me, you know. Especially when you recognize some of the people responsible for your death. That's why you do not know your past incarnations. And don't seek them. You don't want to know. For they know not what they do, mean that all sins consciously or unconsciously performed are committed due to the innate human ignorance. Any soul who has attained divine wisdom cannot do any wrong. So we have knowledge in this planet, but no wisdom. We have knowledge, we don't know what to do with it. Thanks God, the world begin to wake up. Before we choke, we can't breathe anymore. The food we eat is poison. Soon the sun is burning us up. We are waking up now. There are many people who begin to think. On Good Friday, Jesus was nailed to the cross. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. A great crowd stood around the three crosses. The people mocked Jesus. Even the chief priest with the scribe and the elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If it is the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him." Now you remember what I say, that Jesus was crucified not by a specific race, but because he opposed the force of evil, because he stood against Maya, and it is Maya who crucified him. We cannot at any time accuse any race of the time to have been responsible of the death of Jesus. Jesus stood against Maya itself and was crucified by the conscious cosmic power of evil. One of the robbers also mocked Jesus and cried out, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other robber rebuked his companion and said, "Do you not even fear God? See that you are under the same sentence? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Turning to Jesus, he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, this day you shall be with me in paradise." Do you know who that robber was? He was the head of a gang of robbers who was going to attack Joseph and Mary, and he protected them at that time, many, many years previously. That is why that man who had done such action, it is in another old book about Christ. And that is why that man repented in the front of Christ. Therefore, in answer to the prayer of one of the crucified thieves by his side, Jesus replied, "Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In other words, Jesus was saying, "Verily, by the truth which I feel within me, I promise unto you that today after I leave the body, thou shalt be in the visible presence of my body in the world beyond of celestial bliss." And the Master said, "It is wonderful to see." So Jesus promised how a thief, they used the word thief, but actually they were criminals, those people. They kill people. By his prayer to the Almighty Lord, manifest in Jesus, was granted liberation in spirit. Can you imagine if a criminal repents and is liberated and you and me are still here? What are we doing? It is also amazing to see how Jesus, though suffering on the cross, did not fail to respond to the appeal of the conscientious thief who was crucified beside him. One would pain be even a thief and be crucified by the side of Jesus, that he could appeal to Christ for final emancipation and be instantaneously assured today, "You shall dwell with me in paradise." The evil action of an individual when he is repentant in an opportune time can be forgiven by great masters of God. That is that the thief had almost paid his karmic debt for his sin by being crucified. And at this juncture, when he was extremely repentant and prayed for redemption in the presence of Christ, he always found it in the hands of Christ. Do you know the greatest lesson to be learned there? Try to figure it out. Here was a man who was nailed in an unbelievable suffering and felt still in his heart compassion for Christ. And Sister Genamata, who attained liberation in her life, said, "You do not acquire spiritual status by how much you suffer in life, but how much you remember God during your suffering. Because all suffering you are going today in your daily life, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, is a prod to remembrance to bring you back to God. All of us suffer and suffer. Why? Because we don't want to go back to God. Many of us are crucified. Many stories I hear as a counselor, man, people are literally crucified. Their heart is broken. They want to kill themselves. They can't live anymore. They have no reason for to live, and they kill themselves. That is crucifixion, to be pushed all the way to suicide. Therefore, when Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise," he gives hope to all mankind about the infinite presence of God and his omnipresent abode of bliss or paradise, where soul in the after state, death state, gather before his heavenly majesty and all the liberated saints. On this planet, the good, the bad, and the ugly are all together. But when you leave this world, you do not have your vibration is going to be your passport, my dear. And they are locked of huge fencing of divine electricity, which you cannot go through. Astral electrocuted. The entire empire where you cannot enter. I have been shown those things. I have been on those places, and you know, I felt, not there is anything wrong with that job, but I felt like a garbage truck driver among the high society. Believe me, I was so out of place. Believe me, the vibrations were so pure, so unbelievable where I was there, and I was crying and crying and crying to stay with them, you know. But I just couldn't stay. I was not fit to be with them. You have no idea what is waiting for you. For those the eyes has not seen, the ears have not heard, and the heart of man has not felt what God has prepared for those who love him. This is our greatest punishment in life, that we are indifferent about God. I will explain that to you, what we have to resurrect Sunday. Therefore, by the grace of God, this criminal was changed from a sinner into a saint. For a long time he had rejected the grace of God. Yet the Holy Spirit did not abandon him. Once more, the Holy Spirit sent a ray of grace into that sinful heart. Once more, he heard him with the voice of grace. "Be converted. There is still time." The sinner obeyed the voice of God, or God's grace. So Jesus, he repented his own sinful life by accepting his just retribution and pleaded for mercy. There was a man who had understood what Shriyukteswar said, "The intelligence of men cannot be properly guided until it has understood and accepted the inescapability of karmic attribution." You shall account for every single word you have said, every action you have done, good and bad. And you are going to, we all face them at the end. This is no utopia, my dear. I was born Calvinist, not Catholic. I don't talk about the purgatory. I have seen it. I don't have to read it. I already see it the other side. Therefore, hence all devotees, lesson to be learned, Marseille, hence all devotees who are crucified by evil tendencies and miseries should ask and pray to their Christ consciousness within, to their Christ consciousness within. That is, it is in us right now, which is crucified by ignorance for the redemption of the soul from the physical world and its limitation into the eternal freedom of oneness with God, in the paradise of every new blissful joy and ever-expanding love. One day, you will have spiritual psychiatrist. See, my friend, you don't have physical pain, you don't have emotional pain, you don't have mental pain, you have soul suffering. It is your soul within you longing from God, that separation from God which is torturing you and making you suffer within yourself. When you reach that, hallelujah, as Dr. Lewis used to tell us, one of the first disciples of Yogananda, he said, if you think it's painful to suffer physically, mentally, emotionally, wait when you are going to feel suddenly in you a tremendous hunger to be with God. When that blessed day comes to you, man, and me, we'll be in good shape. Now I'm going to tell you another parable of the Bible, what can happen to you if you don't make an effort. The parable of the 10 virgins. Or 10 disciples. The kingdom of heaven was craved by 10 disciples who in meditation and once light their lamp of self-realization and gone forth to meet the bridegroom of Christ consciousness. But 5 of these devotees were wise, while the other 5 were spiritually foolish. Those that were foolish had their lamp of self-realization but did not have enough oil of devotion and regularity in meditation in order to keep them burning infinitely, whereas the 5 wise devotees kept within their hearts enough oil of spiritual enthusiasm and deep regular meditation that their lamp of wisdom would continue to burn steadily. That is, you do not know, you don't have to be a monk, you don't have to be a nun, you don't have to have meditated 50 years, you do not know how far you went in your past life. From one day to the other, the Christ consciousness can come to enlighten you, will you be ready to receive it? Therefore, when the bridegroom of Christ consciousness delayed manifesting itself, that is, you meditated for years and years without result, seemingly without result, in the 10 devotees, they all remained for a while in partial delusion, unconscious of the delay of their progress. But at the middle state, or when they had moved far part of the way toward the dawn of divine attainment, there was a vibration from within their soul, which signify that the bridegroom of Christ consciousness was going to manifest. That is, when that Christ consciousness will come to you, you are going to start to feel it approaching toward you. And that they should try to lift the light of their consciousness to meet him. That is, to leave their consciousness and go into the light of the spiritual light. Then all those prepared devotees lighted their lamp of self-realization. But the 5 foolish devotees remained in darkness. That is in the subconscious mind. Then they requested the 5 wise ones, please give us some of the oil of your devotion and spiritual vibration of good habits, for the light of our devotion, self-realization has gone out for our lack of continuous spiritual enthusiasm. But the wise devotees answered, it cannot be done. Please don't ever fool yourself that somebody else is going to give it to you. The only one who is going to give you, the Guru prepare you, and God as Christ consciousness is the one who himself is going to give it to you. No man, no saint, no prophet, no Guru is going to give you God realization. He prepare you. And that great Christ consciousness in you begin gradually to manifest when you are ready. Therefore, he said, it cannot be done. The oil of devotion cannot be transferred. You cannot obtain such fuel unless you acquire it by your daily spiritual practice. What is the first commandment? Thou shalt love thy God with all thy physical strength, with all thy mental determination, with all thy heart's feeling, and with all thy soul and intuition, that is the first commandment, isn't it? If you follow everything else but you don't love God, you will not succeed. Pride will take over. So while the unprepared devotees, we are busy trying to awaken their spiritual devotion, the Christ consciousness manifested in the consciousness of the wise devotees, who were prepared, and they went with him to the reality of spirits, to be forever wedded to cosmic consciousness, and then the door of divine manifestation was closed for a while, that when the five foolish devotees trying to awaken their devotion, buried beneath delusion, prayed, O Lord Christ consciousness, manifest yourself in our consciousness, the inner voice answered, verily you are not ready to know or contact the Christ consciousness within you. Therefore the Master said to each one of us, therefore it behoove all devotee to strive to meditate deeper and keep their inner consciousness and intuition always watchful for the unknown day and hour when the Christ consciousness will manifest in them. When I met that great saint, Swami Ram Dass, in 1954 in Switzerland, I touched his feet, I became ecstatic, completely paralyzed for 24 hours. That was the day I missed the bus. I was told if you would have been ready, you would have got it. So this is 36 years ago. Therefore, the Master say, when Jesus told the parable of the 10 devotees, he implied that even celibate renunciates cannot greet God only, that is, even if you are a monk or a nun, you cannot greet God only with the lamp of self-realization, unless they also have the oil of devotion, constant meditation, and spiritual ardor to keep the inspiration of self-realization constantly burning. How do you acquire devotion? By being loving, kind, sensitive, serviceful, forgiving to people. Your behavior every day determines how much the love of God is going to flow through you. You want to be able to love, to be in love with God, manifest that love by serving people. There is no other way. As you begin to expand yourself more and more to others, you begin to care for people, then gradually the hearts begin to enlarge and the channel become purified by that which flows through it. You cannot know God by just meditating selfishly. How many people go to India, to caves, even if they attain ecstasy, the Master say, and don't want to help people. They will have to be reborn in the middle of everybody else and learn to serve people. That love is not just for you. It is to pass through you, and by passing through you in the degree you alight, then it transforms you. When I ask Hidayamata what God realization is, I say, Mother, when am I going to be free once from all that sensuality in me? She looked at me, she said, Turyananda, when you will be able to take the thorn from the hearts of others and place that those thorn upon your own heart, you will be free forever of all self-seeking. You understand what I'm saying? All ego consciousness who wants something for itself. So God is not easy attainable as this world can show it to you. Therefore God say to the devotional call of that devotee who struggles, prays and meditate in order to know me in body, mind and soul, as permeating ever new joy, as the ever increasing bliss of deep meditation, silently and deeply I respond, my love is ethereal and mystical, yet I surely respond to the call of a true devotee. So many call on me, God say, absent-mindedly, with a despairing belief in the background of their mind that I will not answer their prayer, or that I am difficult to please. Well, Lord, I'm afraid I have to admit on that line. I'm difficult to please, or that I do not respond to devotion, or that apparently I do not respond at all. But if you are not discouraged, even though trampled by a crowd of weaknesses, or distraction, or bad habits, or restless thoughts, but keep calling soulfully, silently, or shouting for help, then without fail I will come to the rescue. By continuous knocking with your prayer at the gate of silence leading to God,
It shall be opened unto you, and your consciousness will be able to enter into the heavenly region of bliss. Therefore, all the devotees whose spiritual enthusiasm after entering the spiritual path is uniform and persistent to the end will be the first to attain cosmic consciousness. But those devotees who first enter the path and then become slow and irregular in traveling on the path of meditation might take more than one incarnation to reach the ultimate goal. I declare unto you that if you persistently ask the divine truth from God, you will receive it. How? Blessed are the pure. No, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you dare to ask God to bring righteousness in your daily life? I pray every day like that. It's not exactly pleasant, believe me, but I pray every day. You have to learn, as Saint Francis of Assisi said, to do violence to your own will, to pray against yourself. You are at war between your soul and your ego. This is a great war, and every one of us has to win it. If you seek God persevering, he said, perseverance, the whole magic of success. The Lama said to me, I don't care if you crawl on your floor, but you keep moving. Sometimes you feel so low, you are really crawling, but you keep moving. If you seek God perseveringly in the dark forest of meditation, you will find him by knowing him with your prayer at the gate of silence leading to God. It shall be opened to you, and your consciousness will be able to enter the heavenly region of bliss. I started my meditation 37 years ago. They said to me, what have you realized, Toyanda? Where are you at? I don't have the most remote idea. I know only one thing, I am in love with God and with you. That's why I try to share with you not what I believe, what I know. And I try every trick possible to avoid the commitment. Every games and gimmicks I have accumulated for incarnation, I try to use it, and none work with God. None work. You must be absolutely sincere with God. Never, never justify your wrong. Of course, Jesus Christ was crucified once. You are crucified every day in your daily life. And we monks and nuns are very well aware what you are going through. But you have to... People say to me, you are lucky. No, we work for it. We are not lucky. We had to work for it. Not we deserve what we have received, but still, every day, you are going to come out of bed. What did you say? My Lord, I surrender unto thee today my body, my mind, my heart, my soul, my thought, my feeling, my word, my actions. You repeat that again several times during the day. You say, yeah, but if I say that, I won't be able to do anything wrong. Oh, yes, you will. You will, because you can change from one day or one week, believe me. But you acknowledge it, say, Lord, what can I do, you know? But you acknowledge it. The more you become watching that consciousness of yours, and each time bring him back to God, each time God send that blessing to you. So study this teaching, Master say. He said, there is only one guru, and that is God. I'm only the dust at your feet. I'm the fertilizer, he said. I'm fertilizing you, he said, to grow, because I've impregnated every single word of this teaching with the spirit of my Father. I don't bring you something new. So study the lessons, read the Master's lecture, and gradually God will speak to you. He says, through your whispers from eternity, I will eternally talk to you. If I have hurt any one of you, I apologize. Always remember that I tell you nothing but the truth. I live by the truth, and sometimes I'm a Sagittarian, of course. And they say, we don't have exactly, the Yama say, the Sagittarians don't have much tact. So if I hurt any one of you, I hope that you are forgive me. And if you want more, you can talk to me. Okay. That's what I do, because I get letters to the quarters. Did you put Randamoy? Yes. I said to Randamoy, what did I do now?
Did you say that, Bodhidharma? I always get caught because I never say no. Well, if I have said, I never lie. I'm always caught, you know. It's hard to not cover up, believe me. Yeah? Well, I tell you, as a Protestant Calvinist, it was utterly impossible for me to think of God. Now, as a yogi, it's impossible to live without thinking of God. But it's not a thinking process, it's a feeling. You feel it from here. It's not here, it's here. Now, may I have our love offering? One day you will have this, our guru translate John, Mark, Matthew, Luke, Revelation, Genesis, but it has to be translated properly. And it will come in a book someday. Greatest test in life is to face oneself. That is the most heroic pairing. Everybody talk about karate, kung fu pairing. You pair with yourself, with your ego. And that ego is a very fierce fighter, believe me. Pray together, beloved God, bless this offering, that it may help to carry the message of love and wisdom to all true seeking souls. Om, peace, Amen. Bhagavan Krishna, Mahavatar Babaji, Lahiri Mahashai, Swami Shivtesaji, our Guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all origins, we humbly bow to all of you. Most beloved God, Give me thyself, that I may give thee to all. Free me then from the bondage of the body, that I may show all my brothers and sisters how they can free themselves and find thy eternal ways of happiness forever in thee. Beloved God, naughty or good, saint or sinner, I am thy child. I am thine. Thou art mine. I am thine. Thou art mine. Om peace. Amen. And may the infinite love of our beloved God descend upon each one of us and imprint in us a deep, deep desire and longing for him.